What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying?
All right. Season 3, episode 15 of Tale of the Tapes. On today's episode, we got Bubonic and Left Eye. All right, so let me start off by saying this. I'm not even going to lie. When I was going through the artists from 2001, I think it was last week I explained to you guys like my process of going through these names in chronological order and stuff like that. And I saw the name Bubonic written on my list. I was like, who the fuck is this? Then when I looked into him, I realized who he was. So for those of you who are not aware, Bubonic is half of the hip-hop duo Philly's Most Wanted. The other member, Mr. Man, did not qualify for the study, but the group was out as a group first, not individuals. So the group and all of its material will count towards Bubonic scores. As far as my opinions and expectations, to be honest, I didn't really have many. I only knew one or two of their songs and couldn't even really tell you whether I thought they were technically good or not, but I personally didn't remember either of them being anything special. Now, this was back in high school, and like I said, it was only one or two songs, so I'm not sure exactly how accurate that's going to be, but that's, you know, my random memory from probably close to about, I guess it's about 20 years or so ago at this point. On top of that, I didn't think he was going to get a big impact score, so I definitely say I expected a bottom half finish here, and that's being generous. And again, that's not to try to shit on Bubonic or Philly's Most Wanted or whatever. For the record, the two songs that I knew of them, I like those songs. I mean, to this day, they're on my all-time hip-hop list, so that's not to say that I didn't like them, and that's why I expected a bottom half finish. And when I say bottom half, I don't expect, you know, bottom 25. That's not really what I mean. I just mean that I expect them to be on the back end. So, you know, we're about 230-something people in right now. So let's say just behind the 115 mark or so, maybe somewhere between 120 and 150 or something like that. As far as Left Eye, I honestly have a pretty similar assumption. I obviously know who she is from TLC, but to be honest with you, I wasn't really aware that she actually had a solo hip-hop album. Although I'm not going to lie, when I found out that she did, I can't say that I expected it to be very good. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, I really don't have any particular reason why I'm saying that. There's not, you know, something that I saw or heard that makes me say, oh, you know, I don't expect that album to be good, but I don't know, for somebody to be in a female R&B group and then branch off and make a solo hip-hop album that somebody like myself didn't even know about, again, that's not to say that it can't be good or that she's not good, but just general assumption going into this not really knowing anything, I didn't really expect it to be that good of an album. And as a rapper, I thought Left Eye would probably finish in the bottom quarter or so. Again, that's particularly speaking to Left Eye as a rapper. This has nothing to do with TLC in any way, shape, or form. We're strictly judging and critiquing Left Eye off of the one solo hip-hop album that she had. So just keep that in mind when you're listening to these critiques and these scores and stuff like that, that we're not talking about Left Eye as an artist from the group TLC. We're talking about Left Eye as a rapper in the hip-hop game. So both of these artists had their respective debut albums out in 2001, so we're still in the same calendar year here today, but Philly's Most Wanted was out first, so we're going to start off with Bubonic here today. Now, I'm just going to be straight up and cut right to the point here. Unfortunately, this guy somehow actually has the least amount of information on him than anyone else we've covered in this study so far. So most of the people that we cover, it's relatively easy to find most of this info out. You know, sometimes when you want to find more specific things or something that you really want to touch on or talk about, then yeah, you have to, you know, dig a little bit deeper. Some people, you just have to dig much deeper right off the bat because there's just not as much information readily available on these people by just typing their name into Google as there is for some of these other people. But at the same time, it's usually somewhere to be found, at least some of it. I can, you know, find on maybe a personal website of theirs or, you know, some sort of fan thing where you're not 100% sure if every single thing is particularly perfectly accurate, but at least you're getting some sort of a picture of maybe where this dude is from or where their music originated from or a roundabout of what year they came out or, you know, just little things like that. With Bubonic, I promise you, I have searched the internet over and over again multiple times and I cannot find a single piece of information on this dude. Not his age, nothing. So, unfortunately, not only do I not have his age, aliases, years active, etc., but I also don't have any bio or additional information on him whatsoever. The only thing I can tell you guys for sure is that he's from Philly. Whether he was born there or not, I don't know, but I do know that that's where his music career began. My apologies for the lack of information here. I just want to be clear that it's always my intention to have the podcast be as informative as possible without being too boring, but unfortunately, there just doesn't seem to be any info around for me to relay to you guys. So, you know, if anybody knows anything about this guy that they can offer, I would appreciate at least just having the information. But for now, we'll just have to jump right into my write-up of Bubonic and make do with that. Although I had forgotten about the songs until starting them in this study, I definitely remember bumping a couple of Philly's Most Wanted songs back in the day. Bubonic was actually a little bit better than I realized initially. While he wasn't necessarily anything special, he definitely had some dope lines and clever wordplay. He was also pretty good at being able to keep a topic throughout the entirety of a song and finish just above average lyrically overall. Boo only dropped two albums in his career, both as one half of Philly's Most Wanted. While the second album seemed subpar compared to the first, both albums scored as good/great albums. Out of only 24 total songs, none were great or weak, but 13 were good, making over 50% of his material good. While the group did have a couple of relatively popular singles, they never sold well even though they were produced by the well-established Neptunes, causing them to disband after just two albums. On top of that, they had no clear visible influences on any other artist thus far. When it came to originality, there was a lot of give and take for the group as a whole. While Bubonic's delivery and rhyme style was somewhat original, it was also reminiscent of a combination of Mace and Pusha T. However, nothing much else about his image or content was overly original. So, I think that entire write-up sounds like exactly what you'd expect to get from a relatively unknown with a decent amount of skill who presented a very small catalog. So, with that being said, let's check out the actual numbers here for Bubonic and see where this lands him. Lyrics, he gets a 5.5, and I do want to note, I don't always point this out, but, you know, when it seems relevant enough to me, like if something really, really is close and, you know, I was wanting to do it, but it really just wasn't pushed over that edge for me, or, you know, it's in comparison to something else we're talking about at the moment, I do like to let you guys know that, yes, he wound up getting a 5.5 lyrically, but he was very close to getting a 6. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't that he was anything special, but he definitely had some dope lines. He had some clever wordplay. He was pretty good at being able to keep a topic throughout a song, things like that. So again, not a big catalog here. I mean, only 24 total songs. So he didn't have that big of a space to really climb up that high. In order to get, you know, 6.5, 7, 7.5 and up, this guy would have really had to go absolutely ballistic. I don't even want to say on every song, on almost every bar. You know, in 24 songs, you're not giving yourself a lot of wiggle room. So the fact that he really even got that close to a 6 in 24 songs was pretty impressive. Like I said, nothing special, but definitely an above average lyricist. So overall, he winds up with a 5.5 lyrically. Albums, he gets a 5.12 with 0 classics, and that's a good album score, but it's on the high end of being a good album score. It's almost a great album score as an average, which is very, very impressive. Now, again, both of the albums, even though when listening to the album, and I don't know whether this was due to production or sound quality or lack of interest on the part of the group or whatever the case was, but from my perspective, the second album was subpar to the first album. But technically speaking, they were pretty much almost exactly the same. They got almost exactly the same scores. Both of those albums were good/great albums. And like I said, that 5.12, that comes out to be a good album score. But that's right up on the verge of being a great album score. So, you know, impressive stuff here. Like I said, neither one of these categories anything special, but definitely positive stuff here from Bubonic. Songs, he gets a zero. Like I said, 24 total songs. No great songs, no weak songs, so that obviously just stays at a zero. He did have 13 good songs, which is over 50% of his total material, so that is relatively impressive there, and that certainly helped to catapult his album score up near being a great album score, but again, no great songs, so he doesn't get anything in the songs department here. Impact, he gets a 3.5, and, you know, there's just a lot of things that you have to look at here. I mean, first and foremost, like I said, up to this point in the study, no names on the list of artists influence. Poor record sales. I don't want to say they did horribly, but they certainly didn't do well. They did bad enough to be dropped from the label that they were initially on and, you know, not work with Neptunes anymore and stuff like that. And listen, I understand that not every single thing that a particular person or a particular producer puts out is going to go fucking platinum. I get that. But you do also have to understand who you're working with here. So when you're being produced by Neptunes and you're being pushed and prior to your first album coming out, it seems like these people were pretty well invested in, if not monetarily, at least emotionally. It seems like the label and Pharrell and the producers and stuff like that had relatively high hopes for these dudes. And I think the fact that they didn't do great, even though they did okay, like I said, it wasn't total garbage, but I think the people behind them were kind of looking at what they put in and saw that they were probably going to take a loss for whatever the reason was with this group. So they were dropped. And then, like I said, they went on to put another album after that. To me, it was subpar. I didn't really like it as much. Technically speaking, it scored pretty much the same as the first one. But again, when we're talking about sales, neither one of them did well. So, you know, you're looking at a group here that not only did they not sell well, but they didn't sell well when they had a big producer, a big name, and a relatively big machine behind them. Like I said, no names on the list of artists influence or anything like that. So it was just a lot of things pushing this score into the negative side. And to be quite honest with you, one of the very few things that even puts it near a 3.5 is the fact that they were signed to a major label and did have a little bit of a push behind them in the two singles that I'm not saying they did great, but they were relatively popular and stuff like that. Again, that's a double-edged sword because they weren't able to really get anything out of it, which does work against them, but we still do have to acknowledge that they did at least get their foot in that door. So he winds up with a well below average score of a 3.5 in the impact department there. And originality, he gets a 5. Like I said, flat out, just, you know, to start things off here, there really wasn't much about Bubonic that was really original, from his image to his content or anything like that. There really wasn't anything that was like, oh, this is different. So I just felt that the things that they were there to talk about, like, yeah, his delivery and his rhyme style were a little bit original to the point where not many people sounded like that, but it wasn't completely unique because it somewhat sounded like Mace and Pusha T. Now, I'm not trying to say that Bubonic was trying to sound like Mace or Pusha T. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the uniqueness and the originality of something. Yes, it was different from most, but it wasn't one of its kind, is really what I'm just trying to point out here. So, again, there were only little things, and those little things kind of evened each other out. And then, like I said, on top of that, there just really wasn't anything much else about his image or his content or anything like that that was overly original. So he just pretty much evened out and stayed average at a 5 there for originality. So you add those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5, and it gives you a final rating of 3.92, which leaves Bubonic in 187th place of 236 artists done overall. So that's obviously not a strong finish there for Bubonic, but again, man, keep in mind what's going on here. While he wasn't mind-blowing or anything special, we do have a pretty decent above-average lyricist here who quite frankly just didn't sell well for whatever reason or reasons and didn't put a lot of material out, resulting in a well below average impact score, and his originality was average at a 5. So we see it all the time. Slightly above or below average scores wind up putting you more near the bottom than the top. But again, Not a bad rapper here by any means, just not quite amazing enough lyrically to make up for the other gaps in scoring. Another thing I want to point out here really quickly, and this is mostly a matter of circumstance, is that this is a prime example of why there's a cutoff to be included in this study. There was no major difference between Bubonic and Mr. Man, just a slight difference lyrically that wound up getting Bubonic to make the cut, whereas Mr. Man fell just short. But even the dude who did make the cut still finished in 187th place, which probably will wind up being somewhere around 350 when this is all said and done. I've been making the statement since the podcast intro, which was over 3 years ago at this point, that a dude who didn't make the cut stands little to no chance at making it past the halfway point in the overall list. And this is a prime example of it because this dude was above average lyrically and did make the cut and still wound up in the bottom quarter. So it just goes to show you the point that I'm trying to make when I talk about certain people who didn't make the cut. It's not that these people are necessarily trash. It's not that I hate these people, whatever it may be. It's just the simple fact that right off the bat, the math is not adding up good enough for me to sit here and say, you know what? I may not like this dude, or I may not think this dude is going to do great, but I'm not going to like everybody in here. Not everybody in here is going to do great. Somebody's got to finish in last, right? People got to be in the bottom 10. So it's not that you have to be amazing to make the cut, but you do have to present certain things. And, you know, I can't go through everybody that's ever touched a microphone in their life. I'll never, ever be done with this. At this point, it's starting to feel like I'm never, ever going to be done with it anyway, but that's neither here nor there. We'll see what happens in the future. But again, the point I'm trying to make is that there has to be some sort of cutoff. And this finish right here of somebody that did get an above average score lyrically and, you know, just squeaked in when it came to the cutoff, and his partner didn't get in when it came to the cutoff, even though they were very, very similar. Not only when I listened to them to see if they made the cut, but again, I listened to Mr. Man's whole catalog because there was only two albums that each of them had, and they both were together as Philly's Most Wanted. So I listened to those albums. So I know that there was no big gap between Mr. Man and Bubonic. So I'm just trying to make the point that when these people are not making the cut, it's pretty simply because, and I don't mean to be ruthless when I say this, but I just don't want to waste my time on doing somebody that I'm pretty much 99.9% sure that they stand absolutely no shot of finishing above the halfway point. At that point, I mean, when this is all said and done, if you want to, just for argument's sake, I would allow somebody to do two things easily with no problem. You can take out the names that I've put in of people that I know, like whoever it is, me, Sig, Squeegee-O, this one, that one, right? And say, oh, I got local people that belong in these spots. Okay, cool, swap them. Because if you did this study, that's how yours would go, because you wouldn't even know of me, right? And I understand that. The other thing that I wouldn't probably really care is you have an issue with somebody being left out, right? And here's the thing, I have an issue with some of the people that are left out. I didn't want some of the Outlaws to not make the cut. I didn't want Memphis Bleek to not make the cut. Okay, these are things that I love Memphis Bleek. Memphis Bleek is probably one of my favorite rappers. He is one of my favorite rappers. So I was pumped to do these people's catalogs. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, the math didn't work out for them and they just wound up not making the cut. So if you're going to turn around and say to me, oh, you, bro, you got a fucking, you talking about you did a hip-hop study, you got a top 450 list, and you don't even have Memphis Bleek in there? He's not even in there? Or you left out some of the Outlaws? They're not even in there in the top 450? Here's the thing, bro. Go to 225 or behind and place them wherever the fuck you want. I don't care. Because quite frankly, that's probably the way that things were going to wind up. Now, is that concrete? Do I know that for sure? Obviously not. But again, I would bet that 99 out of 100 times, somebody that didn't make the cut in here stands little to no chance of finishing anywhere above that halfway point. So again, if you have issues with my list when it comes to local people that may have been left out or local people that were included or some of the people that didn't make the cut, feel free to piece them in as I've just explained to you. I have no issue with that because I do understand that those things could be altered a little bit. But I mean, Does it make my study invalid because Memphis Bleek is not in there instead of Memphis Bleek being in 297th place? I mean, at that point, does it really matter? Sure, somebody's got to be there, and I'm curious to see who it is, but I mean, who's arguing about who finished in 297th place? Nobody's arguing about that, bro. People are talking about who's the greatest rapper of all time. Who's your top 5? Who's your top 10? Who's your top 25? Make a top 100 list. Shit like that. Once you start getting past there, people don't really care to debate that. It's nice to know. It's nice for me to have a list in front of me where I could see everybody's name, sure. But nobody's fucking arguing about who finished in 313th place. Bro, were you crazy? You got this dude in 312th and this dude in 350th? You're wild. This list is whack. I mean, come on, bro. Nobody's even going to go down that road. So that's where I just have to cut ties, and I have to keep in mind that I only have a certain amount of time to even try to get this done. So, but like I said earlier, man, I definitely fucked with a couple of Philly's Most Wanted songs, and this finish does not in any way indicate that Bubonic sucks or anything like that. I just want to be clear about that. So shout out to Bubonic and Philly's Most Wanted in general, no question about that. So although there wasn't a huge amount of information there, that concludes our coverage of Bubonic from Philly's Most Wanted. So now let's move on to Left Eye of TLC. Born Lisa Nicole Lopez, May 27th, 1971 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, United States. Died April 25th, 2002 in La Ceiba, Honduras. Other names, Left Eye and NINA. Origins listed as Atlanta, Georgia, United States. Genres are hip-hop, pop, and R&B. And her years active are listed as 1990 to 2002. So obviously, first and foremost, I want to say rest in peace to Left Eye, who died at the young age of 30 in the middle of her prime. So talented and famous or not, that's obviously something you never want to see. Aside from that, I have to admit, I wasn't aware that Left Eye was born in Philly, nor was I really aware that her origin would be listed as Atlanta. I don't really know where I thought she was from. I can't say I was particularly big on Left Eye, and to be honest, didn't even know she had a solo album as a rap artist, but in general, I did fuck with TLC, but then again, was there anyone in the 90s who didn't? But yeah, I don't really see anything else there very surprising or needing discussion, so let's hop into some more background info on Left Eye and see what we got there. Lisa Nicole Lopez, May 27th, 1971 to April 25th, 2002, better known by her stage name Left Eye, was an American rapper and singer. She was a member of the R&B girl group TLC alongside Tion T-Boz Watkins and Rosanda Chili Thomas. Besides rapping and singing backing vocals on TLC recordings, Lopez was the creative force behind the group, receiving more co-writing credits than any other members. She also designed some of their outfits and the stage for Fan Mail Tour and contributed to the group's image, album titles, artworks, and music videos. Through her work with TLC, Lopez won 4 Grammy Awards. During her brief solo career, Lopez scored 2 US Top 10 singles with Not Tonight and You Know What's Up, as well as 1 UK number 1 single with Never Be the Same Again, the latter a collaboration with Melanie C of the British girl group Spice Girls. She also produced another girl group, Black, who scored a platinum album and 2 US top 10 hits. Lopez remains the only member of TLC to have released a solo album. On April 25, 2002, Lopez was killed in a car crash while shooting a documentary about health and artist development with her girl group TLC, friends, family, and camera crew in Honduras. The vehicle she was in swerved off the road to avoid hitting another vehicle that stopped abruptly in front of them. The documentary was released as The Last Days of Left Eye and aired on VH1 in May of 2007. So, I'll say this. For someone that died young, that's definitely a decent amount of information there. And there's some stuff I want to talk about in that background. Obviously, I'm sure most people listening are at least aware of who TLC is. So, I don't think there's any need to dig deep into that. But I do have to point out that I wasn't really aware of just how much this girl was doing behind the scenes, both in that group and out. It was pointed out how many things she contributed to the group from their image, album, titles, artworks, music videos, stage designs, etc. So, obviously a very artistic person with a solid creative vision. We also see that she won 4 Grammys, however, All of those were with the R&B group, not her solo hip-hop act. On top of that, it appears she formed a group called Black, and although I never heard of them, they apparently had a platinum album and 2 top 10 hits. So again, good stuff here from Left Eye on some things not necessarily related to her being a rapper, but impressive nonetheless. Now, she only had 1 solo album as a rapper, which I personally wasn't even aware of, but apparently had some success with some singles from that album, but obviously that's where it ended as her life was unfortunately cut short. So let's get into my write-up on Left Eye and see what I had to say about her as a rapper. While I'm sure most people know who Left Eye is, I have to admit I did not realize she had a solo hip-hop album. Lyrically, she was extremely inconsistent, especially from song to song. She was pretty good with rhyme schemes and decent with syllables and spots, but didn't rhyme at all pretty often, had some run-on bars, and took some shortcuts. While she didn't really have any dope lines, she did show the ability to get deep and meaningful. She was also a pretty decent storyteller, leaving her just below average lyrically overall. Left Eye only registered 1 hip-hop album for scoring before her life was unfortunately cut short, but it scored as a good album. Of her only 14 qualified songs in total, none were great, 5 were good, and 1 was weak. While Left Eye was pretty well known for being in R&B group TLC, she wasn't necessarily a solidified solo hip-hop artist at the time of her passing. On top of that, she had no clear visible influences on any other artist to date. So many things were original about Left Eye, from her voice, delivery, and rhyme style, to her image, content, and message. So, not an overly long write-up here, as like I said, this is strictly about her as a rapper. And as a solo rapper, she only had 1 hip-hop album to her name, so while there wasn't much there to say, we do see some ups and downs in that write-up, so let's jump into the math here for Left Eye and see how it worked out for her. Lyrics, she gets a 4.5, and like I said in my write-up, she was extremely inconsistent, and it's weird because some people have a certain style where it's very hard to keep up with, and there's so many things going on at all times. So to give an example here, sometimes in a 2-bar or 4-bar sequence, you'll have somebody have a run-on bar, a dope line, a rhyme scheme, and a shortcut, all in the same little 2-to-4-bar sequence. And it's like, okay, damn, those are the songs where I gotta rewind for a second and make sure that I'm doing the math right and stuff like that. That was not the inconsistency that I saw from Left Eye. Left Eye's was more inconsistent from song to song, where she would have a song that was, you know, pretty poor, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to shit on her here now, but she did have the 1 weak song. There was probably maybe 1 or 2 other songs on that album out of only 14 total songs that were close to being weak, and it was like, okay, she's, and some of them were early. So right away, she went down to like a 4 lyrically off of like the first couple of songs, if I remember correctly. And I was like, oh man, you know, there's a lot of run-on bars going on here and, you know, all this other stuff. She wasn't rhyming relatively often. She was taking some shortcuts, stuff like that. And on top of that, you know, there wasn't really any overly dope lines. There wasn't really anything where you were like, oh shit, like, all right, she took a shortcut, but that line was crazy. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really much of that. So again, it was a little bit of a hole early on that she climbed into. It wasn't that bad. It was only probably down to a 4/4.5 or something like that. Maybe a 4. But again, only 14 songs total, so not much room to climb out of that hole. As I got towards the middle of the album and I listened to 6, 7 songs, 8 songs, stuff like that, I started to realize that this girl definitely was capable of some good stuff. She, you know, started doing some pretty good things with rhyme schemes. She definitely showed decent ability with multisyllabic rhymes in certain spots. It was not consistent, but it was there in spots. She definitely showed the ability to get deep and meaningful, and she was a pretty decent storyteller. Again, we never really got to see all this girl had to offer. We're talking about 14 songs here. So when you talk about a storyteller, I mean, how many stories are you going to tell on a 14-song album? You see what I'm saying? So even if she only told 1 or 2 and they were pretty good stories, I mean, that's a decent percentage of her material, enough for me to point out that Left Eye was a pretty decent storyteller. So it's not that the girl wasn't capable. She definitely did some decent things. It's just that there were a lot of inconsistencies, and especially earlier on, there were just, the negative was outweighing the positive, and then there were, you know, some songs that I thought were impressive enough to climb her out of what she was in. And she was close. This is another one where I'll tell you, she was a slash five. So she was close to getting back to that five and that average score lyrically. Unfortunately, there just wasn't enough time. She wasn't able to do it in the one album and the 14 songs that she had. But, you know, it was certainly possible if she came out with something else that not only could she have gotten to a five, but she could have gotten higher had she been a little bit more consistent, because there was some impressive things that she did show, even in a very small catalog that she presented. So again, it's not that she wasn't capable. But the inconsistencies and some of the technical mishaps were just a little bit too much, and she stayed at a just below average score of 4.5 lyrically there. Album, she gets a 4.29, which is obviously a good album score. Like I said, she only had the one album. It scored as a good album, so obviously she gets a good album score there. Zero classics. I mean, if the album was good, it obviously didn't score as a classic, so she doesn't get any extra points for the classics. But still, a good album score of 4.29 there nonetheless for Left Eye. Song, she gets a minus 0.71, and this one doesn't sit easy with me. This one's a little bit harsh because she's losing, you know, just about, she's right in between 2/3 and 3/4 of a point there, and that's not overly dramatic, but, you know, we got the just below average score of 4.5 there lyrically, which, like I said, it was very close to going back to a 5, so she could use a little bit of help, you know, if she could get a point in the songs department, even a half a point, right? Then that brings that back up to a 5. So when you know, you got the good score, but you got the 4.29. Again, it's not something that's going to catapult you to the top when you're starting off with a 4.5 lyrically. So to lose almost 3/4 of a point here, especially losing almost 3/4 of a point off of just one weak song, like I said, it doesn't really sit that well with me, but again, the math is what it is. She only had 14 songs. None of them scored as great songs, and one of them did score as a weak song, so that came out to 7% of a material. You slide the decimal place one spot to the left, and it gives you a minus 0.71. So, you know, unfortunately, the math just is what it is. Impact, she gets a 4, and again, I want to be clear. Like I said, we're talking about Left Eye as a rapper here. So the popularity that she had as a celebrity, sure, it counts for something. And that's why Left Eye is up at a 4 here. I mean, put this in perspective, right? Here you have a girl who only had one hip-hop album and got a 4.5 lyrically against a guy and a good album score, against a guy who had two hip-hop albums and was produced by Neptunes and, you know, signed to a major record label and had almost a great album score overall and a 5.5 lyrically. And he only got the 3.5 when it came to Impact. Left Eye here getting a 4 as a rapper. So again, her celebrity status as an artist does count here, but it's only a very small portion of her impact, especially considering that the majority of that celebrity status was gained as a result of her being in an R&B group TLC, not necessarily from her work as a rapper. So there are definitely two sides of the coin to keep in mind there, but again, there's so many other things that play a factor in here. People influence, the amount of material you put out, all these type of things. So unfortunately, with her passing away at 30 years old after just having put out one album, it didn't really give her a giant leg to stand on. I don't know what would have happened would she have, you know, still been here now, whether she would have put out more material. Had she put out more material, would it have done as good, better, worse? You know, we don't know. It's all speculation, but I have to score what was done. And unfortunately, with all things taken into consideration, she does get a below average score of a 4 in the impact department here as a rapper. And originality, she gets an 8.5. Like I said, this was one area that, and you could look at this in two different ways. We just talked about her celebrity status as an artist being mostly due to her being in female R&B group TLC. But again, that is her as an artist. So her image, the way that she dressed, the things that she did, even in that group, do contribute at least somewhat to her originality score, because that is her. And a lot of what she did both in and out of that group was very original. Her voice was very original. Her delivery was very original. If you sit down and listen to that album, her rhyme style is very original. You know, we already talked about her image, Her content, the things that she made songs about, and not only the content, because here's the thing. Some people have typical content, but an atypical message on their typical content. So they may be talking about guns, drugs, you know, things like that, but their viewpoint and their message of what they're trying to get across on those topics may be different than what the majority of other people are saying about those topics. So you could have typical content with an atypical message about that content. She had neither one of those. She had pretty original content with a pretty original message about the content that she was putting out. So again, it wasn't, you know, an ODB or somebody completely out of left field or out of the blue where you're like, whoa, what the fuck with this person? But very, very original stuff there with Left Eye. And that's another one where I'll tell you that that was close to going to a 9. Again, you have to look at a lot of things. You have to look at how many lines did she take from other people? How many samples did she use from other rappers? This, that. So again, yes, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just as simple as saying, oh, look at the way she's dressed. She should get a 10 for originality. It's not just about your image or the way that you dress or whatever. There's a lot of things involved. That being said, the majority of those things were very original about Left Eye. So that is why she's all the way up at an 8.5. But I just want to point out why she's not up at like a 9.5 or things like that. Those are slated for your people that are just really, really unique to the point where they're just, you know, that you're not going to see any others like them. Left Eye pushing that 9, but didn't quite get there in the short period of time. And again, it's all speculation. I don't know what could have or would have happened, but these are all scores that could have easily been raised, even if she would have just had one more album had she continued to trend in the right direction. So, you know, it's a little bit rough reading some of the numbers, but like I said, man, I can't have any bias here. I have to score things for what they are. Math is math, and, you know, these are the way the numbers came out for Left Eye. So you add those five numbers up and you divide by 5, and it gives you a final rating of 4.12, which leaves Left Eye in 152nd place of 236 artists done overall. So not really a great finish there for Left Eye, but she's still in front of a lot of people. So I think this is pretty interesting. I mean, in all fairness, Left Eye was more known for being in a girl R&B group than she ever was for being a rapper. And on top of that, she only had one album and then had her life cut short. So, I mean, to even finish this high at this point in the study, I have to say, is pretty impressive. She was mostly saved by her originality score and a good album score. But nonetheless, man, I just, again, I want to say rest in peace to Lisa Left Eye Lopez. And major shout outs to her, to all she's accomplished in her life in general, not just as a rapper. And, you know, for the fuck of it, even though TLC is not a hip-hop group, shout-outs to TLC, because I certainly grew up on some TLC, so I got nothing bad to say about any of the three of these women at all. However, that does pretty much end our episode here, as we read off all of our lists last week. So no lists here today, but if you're interested in seeing any of those lists in writing, you can give the Facebook website a visit at www.facebook.com/taleofthetapespodcast. And if you're interested, give the page a like to follow along. In doing so, you could see lists and schedules, give predictions and opinions on things to come, all that good stuff. You can also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/taleofthetapes. That's where all the episodes are in chronological order. On the host website, you'll see a support button, and it would be greatly appreciated if anyone could hit that for me, so thank you in advance to anyone who does that. For the record, both of those links are spelled completely normally. And other than that, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you want to see if either of these artists cracked any of our lists, you'll have to wait a couple of weeks until we read our lists off in the last episode of April again. Next week on Tale of the Tapes, we'll be covering Fabolous and Immortal Technique, and I promise you, you don't want to miss this episode. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.